hey, we are doing a year in review show. Call or write us with the best bad movie you saw in 2010. It doesn't matter what year the movie came out, just that you saw it last year. Go to proudlyresents.com for details.
Welcome to Proudly Resents, the show we usually talk about films. But today we have Paul Goebel, the king of TV.
Hi, everybody.
He's from the Paul Goebel Show, where they talk about TV, so I figured we'll talk about TV and TV and movies.
I like that.
Real quick, news today, when we're recording this, Awkward Family Photos, you know that great website?
Oh, yeah.
They're making that into a TV show.
I heard. Well, I mean, that's the model for television. Everybody wants to be the second guy. You know, when Lost was... Nobody wanted to be the first guy to pitch Lost, because that's a crazy show.
Right.
But everyone wants to be the second guy to pitch something like Lost.
But there was no second Lost. Like, there was no show on TV now
that Flash Forward tried to be the next Lost.
But, I mean, nothing worked. Yanked. There was, like, eight shows afterwards. There was that one about Lake Bell, about being underwater.
Yeah, that was, Surface or Fathom was one of those shows.
Yeah.
A long time ago. Yeah, well, I remember there was three Alien shows premiered the very next season after Lost. It was Fathom or Surface, whatever they called it. Then there was the one Invasion with Bill Fichtner. And then there was another one on CBS with Carla, what's her fucking name?
Guccione.
No, you know, the one with
Carla Macanui?
When the one with the big boobs who's in Spy Kids.
Yeah, it was Carla McKinnagan.
It was with her, and I was a big fan of her. Her and Brent Spiner were on it, and every one of them tanked.
Yeah.
But yeah, everyone wants to be the next guy. So it's like, well, shit, my dad says, so what else is on the internet that's popular?
Oh, it's so almost ridiculous.
It's like, go to Google, see what gets the most hits, and then make a show
on it. And
then
buy it. But like, all right, Shit My Dad Says is a show where a guy says fucked up things, and you know there's a backstory, and you know the backstory, the guy had a movie with his dad. Oh my God, it writes itself. Awkward Family Photos are just pictures. Well, it's like a slideshow.
So what it is,
funny slideshow.
It's like if you can build a pitch around that and pitch it to someone and make it sound even halfway watchable, they'll buy it.
Remember
like,
this show called The Mullets?
Yes.
They made a show called The Mullets.
On UPN about these dudes. That was their last name, Mullet, and they had mullets.
Which is a weird coincidence. They would also have mullets, and they wore mullets, and their name was Mullet.
That was terrible.
Oh, it was a
but
terrible
like,
show.
I saw someone tweet today about the Awkward Family Photos, and they said, I'd rather watch the Lolcats show.
Yeah.
Why isn't that a show?
Oh, I love that. It'd be a great
hilarious
show.
Lolcats pictures.
Wrote that, you son of a bitch.
My kids would...
would watch it.
You son of a... Yeah, but my kids would watch that all day.
Well, why isn't it... You know a guy tried to do the puppy channel? Did you ever hear about this one?
Well, I remember the puppies... People would watch that 24/7 on the internet.
Yeah.
Just he put the webcam up to watch his puppies run around.
Yeah, well, the guy... Before the internet, before YouTube, this guy was like, what could be on? And during the OJ trial, he would turn... the channel and there's nothing really going on in the OJ trial. And he's like, what would I just watch? And then like a week later, him and his wife are in front of a pet store just staring at puppies. So he started to launch the like puppy porn.
Just 24/7, just puppies running around being cute.
Yeah, but you can see that on the internet. But Lolcats would do great.
Why not? It's like, remember, like they don't do this anymore, but in every Christmas, some channel would just air a fireplace.
Yeah, the fire Yule log.
The Yule log channel. And I always thought that was cool. Because, like, on Christmas, I always put on Christmas carols on the TV. But if I could find a channel that was like a Yule log with Christmas carols playing, you know, why not?
Right.
Especially there's so many channels now. You know, why not do crap like that? All puppies all the time.
Yeah, the Yule log used to be like 8 hours long. And as a Jew on Christmas, it sucked because there was definitely nothing on when you were a kid.
You could have that. You could have a baby channel, you know, have it come on really loud at 3 in the morning.
No, screaming. In my apartment building, someone legally has a dog that yelps all night. Oh. And then the guy below me just got an acoustic guitar.
Nice.
And I live in a weird neighborhood. The guy today, because I'm off, was screaming, just randomly screaming at the end of the street.
About?
Just screaming like... Yikes! Like really loud every 15 seconds.
I love it.
That was fantastic. Well, let's talk about movies and TV shows.
Okay.
You know, I made a list quickly of shows and see if you think whether or not they're based on a movie.
Okay.
I'll give you a movie. Was there a movie, a TV version of Animal House?
Yes. It was called Delta House.
Nice.
And it starred a lot of people from the show. Bruce McGill was in it, and James Widows was in it, who played Hoover. Stephen First was in it. But it didn't have John Belushi, obviously. It didn't even have his character. It had his brother.
They explained that his I can't believe I remember this from watching like 30 years ago, but they explained that John Belushi had to go somewhere and his brother was here.
Yeah, his brother, Blotto, played by Josh Mostel, Zero Mostel's son.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Did they make a TV show out of Private Benjamin?
Yes, with Lorna Patterson. But that one had Eileen Brennan in the same role. That was the big get.
Yeah, she was so great.
That went on for a couple seasons.
I think you're going to get all these. MASH.
Of course. No. Yeah, I think they made a show out of MASH.
Maybe, maybe not. Weird Science?
Yes, that was a syndicated show with none of the original cast members. And it came out like 5 years after the movie, too.
Yeah, it was like an afterthought.
Yeah, they were all the kids were grown-ups by then.
The Net?
The Net, that was with the girl from Melrose Place, Brooke Langton, who was on Life.
Nice.
Yeah, she took the Sandra Bullock role, but that was on cable, USA, I think.
Only USA? Nothing in Common?
Yes. That was very short-lived with Mark Blankfield in the Tom Hanks role. You remember him from Fridays?
He also played Tom Hanks in another TV version.
Well, I know he was in The Jerk 2.
That was the other one.
he was in The Jerk 2. There you go.
Oh, and what about Midnight Run?
Yeah, I think
there was a Midnight Run TOO also.
That's right. But that was only a movie.
That was a movie. The Jerk 2 was also a movie.
Yeah, it was like a Disney movie.
Maybe they were backdoor pilots. They did one of Psycho. Do you remember that?
Yes, with kid from E.T.
No, Bert. The kid from Harold and Maude.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But he wasn't a kid anymore.
No, he's just a creepy-looking adult. He was a creepy-looking kid.
It was called Bates Motel. That's right. What it was. He had bought the hotel.
It was like a weird Love Boat type thing.
That's right.
Right? Every week? And people the story?
Yeah, it wasn't like he was killing people. It was more like Freddy's Nightmares. Do you remember that show?
Oh, my God,
again, a spinoff from the movie. It was like a Twilight Zone thing. Every week, some new person would come to the motel or come to Freddy's diner.
That was pretty cool.
And do something weird.
And Friday the 13th had a TV show.
That show was awesome.
Was it? It was like X-Files, right?
It was syndicated, yeah. It was like the X-Files. It had very little to do with Friday. It had nothing to do with Jason.
Why did they even call it that?
I don't know, just to get people in. It was a great show. It was all about these cursed objects. It was like Warehouse 13 when they had these cursed objects and they'd have to go find them. But it was really hardcore stuff. I loved it. I loved that show.
And obviously, outsourced.
Someone told me today that was based on a movie.
First of all, I don't know who you talked to. Tell them to shut their fucking mouth, because this is the one I would have stumped you on. Yeah, that fucking idiot had to tell you it was based on a movie.
Well, I was talking to my girlfriend. She said somebody told her. But
whoever told her is an asshole.
She
should keep her mouth shut, too.
Was it a documentary, though?
No. It was an independent film that came out like 3-4 years ago.
I'd never heard of it.
Yeah, the guy shot it for no money, and then the guy who created the TV show saw the movie and wanted to make a TV show.
So it's a lot like the movie?
I didn't see either. No, I saw half of Outsourced, and I wanted to kill myself.
I saw the first. I can't bring myself to watch the second episode yet. I will eventually, but it's the funny thing to me is, you know, every year people complain there's not enough diversity on TV. Where's all the people of color?
Okay, but there's a difference between people of color and a racist show.
You're right, and it's and my co-host Jim Bruce on my show would always say this: why can't you do both? It's possible to have a show with Undercovers. It's about a black couple.
Right.
Unfortunately, the show's no good. Outsources have all these Indian people. Unfortunately, the show's no good. Jim would say the key is make a good show and cast people of color on it.
Sure. Well, that's what.
Why is that so difficult?
Undercovers. I feel like they thought that was a good show, and it felt like they thought it was a good show, and they cast two black people in it. But Outsources obviously Indian stereotypes.
Yes. There's nothing wrong with Undercovers. It's not like it's a terrible show. It's just boring to me. And I watched it because I thought, I love J.J. Abrams. I pretty much loved everything he's done. I loved Alias. I loved Lost, of course. I liked the Star Trek movie. I'm on board. Why wouldn't I like it? And I watched it and I went, nothing for me here.
Would you ever see the show he created called What About Brian?
I watched it, but I wasn't a fan.
I was a huge fan. It was a terrible show.
Yeah.
Like, it goes with the theme of this podcast of just fun to watch. Such a shitty, shitty show. And the fact that someone wrote this and acted this and lit this and made this was pretty amazing.
The thing that amazed me is the kid on that show was the guy from Seventh Heaven, right?
Yeah, he was the lead. Yeah.
I liked him.
He was great.
I found him very engaging. But I watched the show and went, there's nothing for me here. These people are all younger than me and I have nothing in common with them.
They're all idiots. They're all dumb.
Yeah.
And one week, it was great. There was one character who's a big Italian actor. That was on this shitty show here. And he obviously wanted out because...
Oh, really?
It was a mid-season replacement show, and then it came back for a second season. So he's not there in the second season, and he just disappeared. And they had to explain that he's in Italy, And, you know, it's one of those things where he's on the phone or he's on the internet. Uh-huh. She's talking to him. And then his plane crashes kind of like Good Times when James died.
Terrible.
Damn.
Also, he did Felicity was his first big thing, which was very popular. Again, not a show for me.
No, but it was a good show.
Everyone loved it. And, yeah, nothing wrong with Felicity.
You know what I was watching the other day? I don't know if you remember this. It was on TV in a bar late at night. Mm-hmm. It was Who's the Boss on the Hallmark Channel. I don't know why that was, the bar was playing the Hallmark Channel to begin with, but it was a backdoor pilot for Living Dolls. Right. Do you remember that?
Yeah, with Halle Berry.
No, the pilot did not have Halle Berry.
Oh, really? Oh,
it had
Leah Remini?
Leah Remini was in it.
Okay.
It was going to be one of those model TV shows where a bunch of models live in a house, and they're all like 12. So Leah Remini is really young, the tough New Yorker.
And it was Alyssa Milano's show, right? It was going to be her show?
Well, I don't know if she's going to do both or she's going to leave eventually, but she is listed on all the episodes. Oh, so. Okay. But it was Facts of Life with hot chicks.
Right, right.
No offense to...
To Facts of Life?
Yes. to Joe, who I always had a crush on.
But offense to Tootie and Natalie.
And Blair.
And Blair.
You didn't find Blair attractive, did you?
Well, the funny thing is, when I was a little kid, I used to watch Lisa Welchel on the Mickey Mouse Club, the new Mickey Mouse Club.
I didn't know she's on that.
She was in the second version of Mickey Mouse Club before Justin Timberlake and those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the second one. And her and no one else famous. But I used to think she was so beautiful. I was, what, like 6 years old? But I was like, she's so beautiful. And then later on, she was on... Facts Life, and I still thought she was good looking, but her voice was just so irritating.
You know what made me crazy? Just because I'm nuts. Like, they would kept writing her as the hot chick, and in my mind, like, don't tell me who's hot.
Oh, so you rebelled.
Yeah, fuck these guys. I'll go with Joe. And she was the rebel. She was hot.
Of course.
Yeah, so, but Living Dolls had Leah Remini, but also the part that Halle Berry took in the TV series was played by Vivica A. Fox.
Oh, in the pilot. Ooh,
yeah.
Wow.
She looks exactly the same.
Really?
Yeah, she's got great work.
Oh, man. I love Vivica Fox.
What is with her? Like, she does great movies, TV shows, and then she'll do, like, any reality show, like, host anything.
I don't know, because, like, Cougar. She was great on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
She was great.
I thought she was hysterical. And she's so sexy and hot, like, still, like, because she's getting up there. She's, like, our age.
Well, or, 27?
Well, my age, anyways. And she's getting up there, but she, like, still has it going on, and she's crazy hot, and she's, you know, she does good stuff, but it's like, oh, yeah, I'll host this... She's got the look show, or I'll do this thing, and I'm like, what? Yeah, why would you do that? Maybe the roles just aren't coming in.
I don't know. There's one she did, you know, the Kill Bill movies, and then she did this movie that was shot like on a VCR. You can see the cable sometimes. Yeah, it was really badly.
Wasn't she in Idle Hands? The movie about the guy with the ghost hand who went around killing people.
Oh yeah, yeah, it was a ripoff on Evil Dead.
Yeah, but she was good in that.
Well, it's another thing, but a pattern of shows. There's always every few years a show about models.
Yeah.
Last year, there was Ashton Kutcher had a show for about a minute. First show canceled.
The Beautiful Life, yeah.
And then Living Dolls, Models, Inc.
Models, Inc., which was a spinoff of...
Melrose Place.
Melrose,
but right. I don't understand why they're like, we have to do a show about models. People will watch that. People watch... Every show has hot models in it.
Yeah.
Grey's Anatomy is a doctor show with really hot people.
Right. They're all good looking. The only... Yeah. I mean, and also because now they have America's Next Top Model.
Right.
These are real models trying to be famous models with probably the most famous supermodel of all. Why wouldn't you just watch that?
If you're looking at models.
If you want to just look at hot models, that's the show. They're living together. They're modeling. I mean, my kid, that's another show that I watch with my kids, and they love it because...
Why is that?
Well, they love it because they like reality shows, but they also like to see these grown-up, beautiful girls, you know, do model-y stuff, that every young girl has that fantasy that they will grow up to be a model. And then also there's the you know, the fake drama and all that shit. And then they get to root for their favorite, just like on Survivor. It's like Survivor with models. So, you know, I think it's a fine show. And every once in a while they throw in a nice message. You're too skinny. Why are you being such a bit?
And you know they're bringing Punk'd back.
My kids love Punk. They show it on TV Guide channels, so they'll watch like the TV Guide thing and watch Punk'd up above it, because they were too little when it was on originally. Most like prank shows or anything like that are Punk'd. You know, you watch Jackass, and that's like a lot of those are Punk type, like in the Jackass movie. A lot of those are schemes and scams. It's not just kicking each other in the balls anymore. It's okay, we got him to do this, and we got that, and everybody gets Punk'd. The problem is, you know, people get too famous and they can't do it anymore, you know? And you can't, a show like, remember Crossballs on Comedy Central.
They can only do that for one season.
Exactly.
It was a fake talk show, but the other guests didn't know that it was
exactly.
fake.
And I remember I was talking to someone about it. Me and Howard Kramer were talking to this girl who was working on the show. And she's like, you guys can't tell anybody, but it's this hilarious show. And
you
I
do
like,
it once.
Yeah, I was like, this is hilarious. And Howard goes, how do they do that for a second season? And I said, you don't. If you're smart, you do it once, and everybody going in knows that. And Besser, Matt Besser, who created it, he knew. He said, we can only do this once. And
I thought that show missed the... It was just so mean...
Yeah,
they blatantly lied to people.
Right.
They could have done it in a better way. I don't know how. But they could have been like Phil Hendry's show. Do you ever listen to him?
Yes, love Phil.
He's on the radio and he pretends to be callers who say outrageous things, and then real callers come in.
Come in and they get mad.
And he still gets callers.
It's every day. How do they not know? Every fucking day.
And he says it to him. He'll go back and forth on the phone with himself and he'll be like, is that you? Oh, it's really me. And
I'm the fake caller. I remember one time I was listening to the show and this woman called up and she was so mad about what the guy was saying and she started crying. And it's like, my son is in Iraq. And finally Phil had to go, listen, you know what? This is a fake show. These guests are fake and they're not real. And I know you want to kill me right now, but I couldn't let you go on believing it. And she was happy, but it's like, how do you not know? And how are you just like listening to the radio? Huh? What's this? You just come across it and you listen by accident?
Every day.
Yeah, it's crazy. Every day someone tunes in.
Or you listen every day and you don't know. I had a friend who didn't know they were real and we're all talking about how great the show is. And she finally admitted a week later that...
My girlfriend, speaking of that, when I first started dating my girlfriend, we were talking about... Because she works at Ticketmaster, so she knows a lot about music. She's very well-versed in music. And she used to write a zine when she was younger, and so she's like me, but for music. I would say, you know, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And we talk about Spinal Tap. One time we brought up Spinal Tap, and I would say, you know, meta bands like that really kind of freak me out because they're a fake band. And yet they're a real band because they're playing instruments and they're singing. So how are they not a fake? How are they not a real band? They're doing everything a real band does. It's just the intent. And that always kind of makes me, does the intent make it not real? Like the Monkees or,
right.
you know, anyone else. And she said she'd once dated a guy and they were talking about Spinal Tap. And he said, well, I really don't like their, I like their old stuff, but their new stuff is kind of bad. They kind of sold out. And she looked at him and saw that she thought he was joking, right. but then she thought he saw he was serious. And she realized he doesn't know that they're a fake band. He thinks they're a real band. And then I said, but now they just put out a new album, though. So you could actually say that about them.
But I agree with him. If he wasn't that dumb.
That's the truth. Their new album,
right.
Back from the Dead, is not as good as Smell the Glove
or the soundtrack
of the movie. And it is a sellout. Yeah. Because they're just... And I think it's all about the intent. Does it mean it's not real? It's still...
It's still real.
It's still real, right?
Yeah. But what do you think about that? Because they're just doing it for the money. I mean, it couldn't be as funny.
But weren't they doing it for the money from the very beginning? Like, you look at the movie.
I don't think so. I think it's
Spinal Tap. That's a great movie, and it's hilarious, and they wanted to make something special, and I think they did, but they had to have all the things. They had to make the music, and they had to get actors, and they had to get all this stuff, and so it's like, well, we're not really about the music. We're about the movie. Well, now it's whatever, 20 years later, and that movie has come and gone, and so now are they still trying to make money from the music now, or do they want to make another movie? Like, do you ever see that special they did?
No.
It was an hour-long special they did on TV, like a Where Are They Now thing, and it was just to promote the tour. They were going on tour again. And it was kind of funny, but I thought, well, this is just to promote the tour. It's nothing
right.
great. But then again, you go see them on tour, that's just them telling jokes and singing, right? Just like this Unwigged tour they did, where it was just the three of them playing all
that sounds like more fun, though.
Yeah, that one sounds like more fun to me. But is that a sellout? Is that just in it for the money?
Maybe. Because it seems like that special you're saying, that it could have been... I get it. It was just to promote the tour, but it could have been better. They could have put some more time into it. You have an opportunity to be on TV.
Same with the Ruddles. When they brought back the Ruddles and they did a follow-up to that.
The Ruddles was the Beatles parody.
Yeah, the Beatles parody, which is brilliant.
Yeah, it's really funny.
But they did, I remember I went to the Paley Festival and it was the Ruddles thing at the Paley Festival. And Eric Idle said, we're doing a follow-up. If anyone would like to see it, give us your email address. And I went and saw it at the Museum of TV and Radio And it was okay, but it just wasn't as good. It was on video, first of all, not on film. Jimmy Fallon was in it.
Wow.
So I was like, how good can this be?
Yeah. Did you see Jimmy? I know you're a fan of Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
He did a funny thing with Justin Timberlake.
That was great.
Yeah, they did the history of rap.
It was really cool. It was really
you should
it was
look
funny
that online.
I heard, because sometimes I'll hear about, because I'm always behind on watching shit, and I'll hear about stuff and go, whoa, I can't wait to see this. And then I'll watch it, and I'll think, well, that really was great. But everyone talked about how hilarious it was, and I didn't think it was all that funny.
It wasn't funny.
I just thought it was awesome. It was because they were really good. The Fallon's a talented dude, and just Justin Timberlake, say what you want about him. Holy shit. There's a reason that guy's famous.
Right, and they do a medley of raps from the first one way to the end.
Yeah, like Sugar Hill Gang all the way to this new Alicia Keys song.
Like all that. We're so old. You know, all the way up to to Luke Skywalker. What's that guy's name? Two Live Crew. From here to Two Live Crew. They go way right to the new stuff that the kids are listening to.
Ah, the kids.
The one thing about Detroit 187, the cop show that also probably was canceled by now,
yeah,
was that it breaks the network TV two black person rule.
That's
every
true.
Every network TV has the most two black people.
And they always...
It's got to be one of each, male and female.
But on this case, on this one, they had, what, three on 187? They got the cop who's in charge.
The female cop is in charge.
Then they got the old retired cop.
Right, who's on NYPD retired. Blue.
Right.
And then the guy who gets shot.
The guy got shot.
Oh, and that's another rule. Whenever there's some kind of movie or show, the white guy's the lead. He's got a black sidekick or ethnic sidekick.
Right.
Who always gets hurt.
Yeah.
And the white guy usually gets the woman.
But this one, he does it right. The first episode, the guy got shot. I thought he was going to die. I was too. Like, oh, this is.
He probably did, and he changed their mind. Like, it was probably up in the air.
Well, you know, a lot of things. Like, originally, that show was shot documentary style. Because the first episode, there's stuff like that in the very first part. They're talking to the camera. But I guess what happened is in Detroit, some girl got killed on a ride along for reals. And so in Detroit, they said, we're not doing ride alongs anymore. So the producer said, well, this would be in bad taste if we did it documentary
style. It also would be annoying. The documentary thing.
Yeah.
I mean, The Office does it well, and Modern Family is fine, but you don't need every show to do that.
Yeah. If you're going to do a documentary style, you pretty much have to do it like The Office does, where there's really not a documentary being shot. Because even on Modern Family, the original premise was those kids were kids, and Al Bundy was, you know, a younger man. They had, like, a foster kid live with them, and the premise was... He's now in film school, and he's making a family about this a movie about this family
really?
He grew up with. He was going to be the character you never see. That was the premise, and then the studio said, "Well, we like the documentary thing. Just cut that character."
It was smart,
and so they did
too much.
Yeah, but it's like if you're going to do a documentary style show, it's just at this point, it's just a convention.
Yeah, yeah.
No one the Office documentary is going to be the longest fucking thing ever, right?
I can't wait for that.
It's going to be the longest documentary about the most boring subject ever. So if you're going to do a documentary style show, you just have to just do the premise. Don't pretend that there's something being made. There's something to be seen after it's all done. Just talk into the camera. That's all we care about.
But that always annoys me because it's also kind of a cheat. Because reality shows do it originally for a cheat because they can't get the footage. And now it's just like watered down so they don't have to be Michael Rappaport had a terrible sitcom on for a couple seasons.
The one
Fox.
On Fox?
Yeah.
Head of the Family, I think it was called. Something like that.
Something generic like that. And he kept talking to the camera.
Yeah.
It was so dumb. It was like because they were just so lazy writing-wise.
It's like Ferris Bueller. Yeah, I did this movie once. This low-budget movie where every once in a while the lead character would talk to the camera, and then there would be a huge stretch of the movie where nobody was talking to the camera, and then it would they would get away from that. And I'm like, is this Ferris Bueller or not? Are you going to talk to the camera through the whole movie or not? And then sometimes other characters would talk to the camera. I'm like, well, who talks to the camera and who doesn't? What is the rule here? As long as you keep that straight, you know, on The Office, the great thing about The Office and Modern Family is they do it well. They make sure when they're talking to the camera, they have something really funny to say. Or they're following
up.
Or
moves the plot.
Yeah, and it's following up. And so it's all about the convention and it works well. But yeah, if you're just getting lazy with it, or especially like on the reality shows, where, you know, the situation looks at the camera and makes a face. Come on.
Right, right. He knows what's going on.
It's so stupid.
I was watching Geely to prepare because we were going to talk about Geely today, and unfortunately I found out it's not terrible.
Yeah.
It's not good, but it opens up with Ben Affleck talking to the camera, and I was like, oh, this is going to be great. But he's not. He's talking to a guy that he put in a giant dryer that he was going to flip to get money from. Yeah, I was like, oh, great. This is going to be right to the camera the whole time.
Yeah, terrible.
But, there was a show. I don't know if you know this show. It was on locally in New York when I grew up on Channel 9. It was every night. It was a half-hour cop show with Stanley Tucci and I think Michael Beach.
Yes.
And they shot that on video.
A friend of mine showed it to me. I had never heard of the show, but he lived in Pennsylvania. So he said, it was called The Something. I can't remember what it was.
The Streets
or The Squad or something. And he said, have you ever seen this show with Stanley Tucci? I was like, oh, I love Stanley Tucci. And he gave me all these VHS tapes. my friend Jeff, and I watched every one of them. It was brilliant because, first of all, it's a documentary show, but it was shot on video, so it looked really real. And it was really low budget, and it was like they weren't super cops or anything. They were just beat cops driving around in their car. And like I remember the one episode where Stanley Tucci goes to talk to a bunch of kids, and he gets really real with them about the shit cops do. And I thought, this show is awesome. And I'm trying to look up information about him, but I guess it was just a local thing.
Yeah, it was just weird.
Like it must have been on PBS or something like that.
It was on WWOR that showed the Howard Stern show and Richard Bay show.
Right. So it was local. Yeah.
It was very local. And I guess I met one of the producers. He said he thinks it looks so much like shit that he doesn't want. This was shot on '80s VHS that he doesn't want to re-release it. But I think it would be
because it fits the time. I mean, Stanley Tucci looks, he's got some hair. He's really young.
Can't recognize
him. Yeah, and Michael Beach. You look at him, and go, wow, look how he looks like a teenager compared to now. But it was he showed it to me, and I was like, I cannot believe I never heard of this. But I guess it was one of those things, a local thing,
You were in a movie. We brought up Jackass.
Yes.
You did a movie with Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, I talked about this on my show. I think this week, but I did this movie called Grand Theft Parsons. It's about Graham Parsons when he died, and I guess it was written by like his old manager Phil something. It's a true story about when he died. His manager stole his body and burned it up in the desert because that's what Parsons wanted him to do. So they made this movie, and I just had a small part in it, but it was nice because I worked a day and I got to work with Johnny Knoxville, who was a star, and Michael Shannon, who was the other star, who was a fabulous actor. And he's on Boardwalk Empire now, and he's great. And it was before Johnny Knoxville became right when Jackass ended, and he was trying to be a real actor. So he was really nice. And he was, it was very cool. And he was really funny. And everybody recognized me from Beat the Geeks, and he had never heard of the show. He's like, what is this show? And I told him about it. He's like, oh, so are you still doing it? I go, no, it got canceled, but we're going to go do it at colleges. We're going on tour. And he goes, you can't do that. And I said, well, we're going to change it, call it Meet the Geeks. And he goes, what? He goes, so you mean I could get a bunch of black guys together and hit each other in the balls and we call it Black Ass and we wouldn't get sued? And I said, yeah, in fact, I'm going to do that. I'm going to take that idea right now and do it.
Did you go on tour with Meet the Geeks?
We did a bunch of colleges and we made a lot of money. It was fun. We did like practice shows here at like UCSB and San Diego State. And then we went to like Memphis University and some like liberal arts colleges. But it was great because it was all four of us. It was us three geeks and Blaine, and we would fly out there and we'd make a ton of money. Then eventually people forgot what the show was.
People got the age range changed.
Exactly. But it's funny because there's a new crop of adults who recognize me now, like kids who were like in junior high when the show was on. It's 10 years later and they're 25, 24 years old. And they're out in the world and they have jobs and they're like, weren't you the guy on Beat the Geeks? I'm like, yeah, 10 years ago, that was me. And they recognize me now. And I'm trying to get the producers to bring the show back.
But they should. They bring everything else back.
Why not, right? Yeah. They should.
Well, any TV show on DVD you recommend to people to find?
I always say this. I've been watching Barney Miller. All summer I watched Barney Miller on WGN. And it's amazing how well that show holds up. Even though they make references to stuff that's going on in the 70s, the comedy is still dynamite. And the characters, anyone who has never seen it, you should check it out because it is on DVD.
And on Hulu, too.
And on Hulu, yeah. But why not? I mean, now so many people say F cable that, you can watch great stuff on Hulu all day long. So I say watch Barney Miller on DVD. Barney Miller is my big pick.
And I was watching Soap.
Yeah.
I hate to admit it. I was bored at work, and I was like, I wonder what Soap's going on.
Yeah, my friend Mike Rotman, he just tweeted that he couldn't find his remote the other day. He could only find his Roku remote. So he ordered Soap and watched it all day long. And I was like, that's an awesome thing to do, though. If you can't, there's nothing on, shit, I'm going to watch the whole first season of Soap. And that's a good show to watch on DVD or on Hulu or whatever because their continuing story.
It's a sitcom with a soap opera feeling. So every day something else is going to happen.
Yeah, it's a mock soap opera. And great actors. Richard Mulligan at his best.
Billy Crystal's in it.
Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
And it's funny to see because you look at that character now. He's the gay guy. You look at that character now and you're like, he's not all that gay.
No.
Back then, just being gay was a huge deal.
The episode I watched, his father, Richard Mulligan, is like, oh, it's a great day. He just got laid with his wife, and he's like, and my son went on a date with a woman. Like, it's so funny. He's like hoping he's going to become un-gay.
Could you imagine a character now, a gay character on a show who was trying to not be gay? Could you imagine the furor over that?
When I watched it, it took 3 minutes for the show to start. They had a guy announce what the show is about mm-hmm. the two families, then what happened last week, then this week, then the long Jeez, introduction. Right. I was like, I would shoot myself now. But yeah, then you have the patience.
It's like The Simpsons when it takes them 10 minutes to get to the actual plot of the show.
But at least their show.
But they're doing something. They're telling jokes.
When I was a little kid, soap was on every day. It was so into it that I couldn't wait for the next day to see it. I was like, how did people wait a whole week?
Right.
I could imagine watching it all day. Well, thank you, Paul, for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, another real quick. Have you seen The Newsroom?
No.
Canadian show?
No.
People should check that out. It's a funny... This came out years ago, but it's shot like The Office, like a documentary.
Uh-huh.
And it's about the world's worst guy who runs a newsroom in Canada.
Rick Sanchez?
It's Rick Sanchez. It's free Rick Sanchez. And you should watch the season one because the guy kept making new versions, and every time he made it weirder, weirder, and weirder.
Really?
Yeah, and then finally they changed the conceit where all the people are running for office, and really good.
Where can you see this?
I borrowed a bunch of VHSs a while ago, so okay. I would look on Amazon, but I'm sure they put it back on DVD.
Maybe it's
a big
on
hit.
DVD. Well, Brooke's Canadian. I'll ask her about it.
Yeah.
She must know about it. That sounds good.
Good. The guy who stars in it wrote Airplane 2, the sequel, so you know it's got to be good.
It's got to be dynamite.
Sorry, I just unreversed my recommendation. So thank you, Paul Goebel. Go to listen to The Paul Goebel Show and go to thekingoftv.com.
That's right.
And proudlyresents.com and at Reach Adam. Let's go.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Proudly Resents. Make a comment or suggest a film at reachadam@mac.com. That's reachadam@mac.com or on our comment line. Ready? Get a pencil. I'll wait. Okay? Got one? Okay. To call 646-481-5476. That's our comment line. 646-481-5476. Keep it clean and short. We might air it. Twitter is @ReachAdam. Join us on Facebook or be old school and go to our website, proudlyresents.com. If you like the show, put the episode up on your Twitter, Facebook, StumbleUpon, Dig, you know, all those things. Tell a friend. I'm Eddie Pepitone, and my Twitter account is at Eddie Pepitone.